Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this day. Today we're going to be reflecting about, among other things, exaltation and humility. But let's just stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering who we belong to, beginning our service in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord, for all that you do for us, how can we do anything other than praise? So, Lord, I pray that you help us to keep these things in mind, the way that you provide us for all that we need to support this body and life. Help us to, in light of those things, share with others the abundance with which you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Praise the Lord. try to rule the world you made. But we know power is yours alone to give and take. The day will come when every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that you are Lord both now and forever.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Rabe. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and I hope you're enjoying the coolness of the morning on this last day in August. Hard to believe it's the end of August. The first reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 25, verses 2 to 10. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search out a matter is the glory of kings. As the heavens are high and the earth is deep, so the hearts of kings are unsearchable. Remove the dross from the silver, and a silversmith can produce a vessel. Remove wicked officials from the king's presence, and his throne will be established through righteousness. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among his great men. It is better for him to say to you, "Come up here," than for him to humiliate you before his nobles. What you have seen with your eyes, do not bring hastily to court, for what you will do in the end if your neighbor puts you to shame. If you take your neighbor to court, do not betray another's confidence, or the one who hears it may shame you, and the charge against you will stand. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he asked them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out?" And they had nothing to say. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. Did you hear what Pastor read? He said that Jesus went to eat at the house of a Pharisee. And there was a man there who was sick. What do you think Jesus should do? What should Jesus do? What? To help him? Yeah, Jesus should help. Do you think Jesus can do that? Do you think Jesus could make that man get better?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jesus can do that, can't he? Do you know what? Jesus makes a lot of people get better. He's all the time helping people. Do you think Jesus is nice? Yes, he is. He's nice because he loves you. He loves all of us. And that's a very important lesson for us, isn't it? Do you know that Jesus makes us get better too? Yeah, did you know that? Jesus makes us get better when we get sick. But you know what? When we're naughty, we get sick with sin. Yeah, we get that sin sickness. And Jesus even helps us and heals us from that sin sickness. Do you know how he did that? He went to the cross and he got nailed to the cross. He died so that you and I can live forever. We can be forgiven for our sin. And so Jesus healed us from that sin sickness so we can live forever with God in heaven. Is Jesus being nice? Yes, he was. Do you think Jesus wants us to be nice? Yeah. Can you be nice? How can you be nice? How can you be nice and help people? What do you think? How can we be nice? Can we pray for people? Yes, you have an answer? Pardon? We can help them up. Yes, we can. Sure. We can pray for them, we can love them, and we can help them when somebody is needing help. Can we give some people food? Yeah, sometimes we can do that even. Can we help mom and dad at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can help Mom and Dad, too, and Grandma and Grandpa and aunts and uncles. We can help everybody because God is there helping us. Because Jesus is nice, do we want to be nice? Yes, we do, and we want to be nice. Did you ever not want to be nice? You ever sometimes want to be mean to somebody? Well, I sure hope not. But you know, I believe sometimes we do. Because we're still sinners, aren't we? We still do naughty things. And we need to remember that God loves us even when we're naughty. But we need help, don't we? When we want to be mean, we need God's help. God wants us to go to Him and pray, to ask Him for help. Will you pray with me now and ask God for help? Let's fold your hands and repeat after me. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to live for us and to die for us. To live for us, earning for us the righteousness of God, and to die for us, earning for us the forgiveness of sins. Keep us, God, always trying to be good with your goodness, which you gave us. Help us, God, to be nice to others in your name. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a phrase I remember hearing quite a bit growing up in the 90s, and it was listed there, check yourself. In case you're not familiar, it's been a little while. It was when someone got a little fresh, then you might tell them to check themselves. If you need more unpacking of what this 90s slang is all about, the idea here is if you perhaps said something or did something that was kind of maybe butting up to the line or crossing over the line a little bit, then someone might say, hey, watch what you're saying, watch what you're doing, because you're about to be in a whole world of hurt, to use another phrase. Basically, you check yourself. You just got to be aware that you're about to make a foolish choice. So stop what you're doing. Check yourself. And this is what came to my mind as I was reading through this encounter between Jesus and the religious leaders this day. And so it starts out where one Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. Earlier I said a prominent Pharisee. This is somebody who kind of was, again, seen as a head among the Pharisees. A lot of respect was garnered to this individual, likely. And so here it is that they've invited Jesus. And so Jesus goes, and it says in the text that they were watching Jesus carefully. Well, why would they be doing this? It had nothing to do with a desire to hear what he had to say or to learn from him, but rather because they were threatened by him. Because they had no interest in hearing what he had to say. In fact, they wanted to do whatever they could to either turn everyone else against him or, if possible, get him arrested. Behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Earlier on, I think I read a swelling. Basically, what this is edema, if you're familiar with that, or otherwise, you have just water retention. I don't know if you've ever had like a sprained ankle where your ankle just balloons up or whatever. I know I've had that plenty of times with soccer, and it's just so uncomfortable as the water is just there and will not get out. And so imagine this man, that's just his normal life experience. He has just fluid. How uncomfortable that had to have been for him. And here he gets to be just a pawn for these Pharisees as they say, oh, Jesus, here's a man suffering. What you going to do, Jesus? As if this was a worthwhile, good thing for someone who claimed to be a man of God to do. But Jesus then says to the lawyers and the Pharisees, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And that was the crux of it, really. You see, the previous chapter in Luke's gospel, you have a woman with a disabling spirit. So Jesus is there teaching in the synagogue. And there's a woman who had this disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And Jesus saw her. He called over and said, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, a leader in that particular synagogue, was indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath and said to the people, "There are 6 days with which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be healed and not on the Sabbath day." Again, the whole structure and system had been put in place where God had made the Sabbath good. He set it apart as holy and said, "You, my people, what I want you to do is to have this day where you do not do your normal labors. Let this day be a day where you instead spend time with me, reflect on me, talk to me," God said. "And in doing so, you demonstrate how you trust in God's provision. In doing so, you help put things in a proper order." God did not design man to work himself to the bone, day after day after day after day with no rest. So God gave Sabbath as a gift, and yet over time, how things developed, there was kind of the questions that arose since God had established the Sabbath for, well, how can we best honor this Sabbath and not violate the Sabbath? And from there became a whole bunch of other man-made laws with regard to, well, if you do this, then that's work, and if you do this, that's acceptable. And the idea was, on the Sabbath then, it became that basically no work whatsoever. There was a limit to how much you could walk in a day. There was a limit to how much you could pick up in a day. There was all these limits set. And on top of that then, because of these limits that were man-made, that were set, you had a whole bunch of people who became elevated in society because they perfectly kept these laws. And this is a brief summary of the Pharisees. So you have these people who had established for themselves a standing in society based on their ability to keep the man-made laws. And Jesus cuts through all of that and says, here is someone who is hurting. It doesn't matter that this is on a day that God has established for rest. In fact, even more so, why not celebrate the fact that this is a day that God has made and blessed his people with? Let us free this woman. And in the same way, let us free this man. So Jesus took the man, healed him, and sent him away. Now, it doesn't say this in the text. I wonder if at that moment Jesus is quite livid. And I presume this because Jesus heals the man, sends him away, says, "You don't have to be a pawn anymore here. You are only invited here just to try to trap me. Go have a good time, because you're not going to have one if you stay here." But Jesus says to them, "Which of you, if you had a son or an ox that fell into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull them out? Or are you going to say, well, I can't work on the Sabbath day, so good luck. Hopefully the wolves don't come get you in the night. I don't know." Like, of course you wouldn't do that. You love your son. You love the animals that you have. But they didn't reply to those things. So Jesus, being who Jesus is, likes to get to the heart of the matter. If you look throughout the Gospels, there are many times where someone comes to Jesus, and many times where they come and try to trap Jesus, and Jesus goes right past their trap and really gets to the heart of who it is that they are and what they are struggling with in their sin. And we see that right here, where he says, Jesus told a parable to those who were invited. He noticed how they chose places of honor. So he says to them, "When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, to be honest, there's a little bit of a disconnect for me at times with this particular parable, because of so many cultural differences. In other words, to be honest, I think if not 100%, maybe 95% of the weddings that I've ever attended in life, it was not the case where, well, find your own seats. But typically, you're assigned a seat based on what the bride and groom do. Or maybe in the one case where it was kind of free seating, there is at least designated seats for where the family sits. So in other words, this scenario is one that I don't know exactly that I've ever experienced, where I'm at a wedding and I say, ooh, let me go up to the head table. Maybe I'll get food first. It doesn't work that way. But I think the principle still stands. What I mean by that is, you know, maybe you've been at a party. Not a wedding party that I'm talking about, but just, you know, somebody is hosting a party and everyone's chatting up and everyone wants to go talk to the host and everyone's garnering for position. Or again, how common is it in life, the whole thing of if you want to advance in many different fields, it's all about what? It's all about networking. Who do you know? Who could you know? Who can you connect with? And all of that is all for the place of jockeying for position and trying to rise up as high as you possibly can for getting the most premier status, getting the most money. All of this is society saying, this is what you need to do if you want to be successful. And Jesus cuts through all of that. He says, this is not how you are to live. It's interesting that same ending there, where whoever exalts himself will be humbled, whoever humbles himself will be exalted, also comes after another parable later on in Luke's gospel, where he told also that as Jesus told this parable to someone who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And whether that's righteous before God or someone who thought that their actions and their thoughts were justifiable. They have a reason for everything that they say and they do, and it seems right to them. Not only did they think they were righteous, but they treated others with contempt. And Jesus says, well, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortionists, the unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes in all that I get. And yet the tax collector was standing far off. He would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but he beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And my point for bringing these two parables before you is to note that it's more than just about a wedding feast or a banquet or a party. It's more than just about a scenario where you say, ah, here is how I am righteous before God. But in all circumstances, wherever you are tempted by your pride to say, this is how I will do what I can to get ahead, I'm suggesting that that is not the way that God has designed things for you. Yes, God has given you gifts and abilities. God has given you relationships. And yet all of those things are to be subject to His will and His glory for you. But in our pride, we are tempted to see all things as a means of leveraging for ourselves advancement. And that's not the way that God designed things. Because God has designed things that you would trust in Him in all things. That you would say, if I am to advance, it will be by His doing and not my own. Or to put it differently, we are to trust that which God has put us to steward, whether it be our resources, financially, our house, whether it be our relationships, our family, our friends, our coworkers, all of these things are what God has entrusted to us to be stewards with and to say, how is it that I, with what God has given me, I might serve those around me? This world is not about getting as far ahead as you possibly can to the lowering of everyone else. It's not about finding for yourself the best seats at the party, but rather what God has established is that you, his child, would trust in him. That you would say, God, I don't know at times what it is I'm supposed to do, but God, you have put me here, so guide me. And I think this is what Jesus is really getting at for those Pharisees who are there, who from the first place are trying to figure out, how can we trap this Jesus? Their entire motivations for that party seem to be suspect. And Jesus says there's a better way to live, a better way to truly have life. So my encouragement to you today is to check yourself. Or at least be honest with yourself at those times in your life where you're jumping into the temptation that says, I need to do all things that I can to get me ahead. I need to do all things that I can to have a better status in my work or in society or among my friends. I need to do whatever I can to earn more money, because that's what really matters. Don't fall into that trap and temptation, but rather take all that you are experiencing and subject it to the will of God and say, God, I turn to you. What is it that you will for me in this life? Help me to listen to you and your wisdom. The beautiful thing is that what happens is when you humble yourself, when you go to the lowest place at the table, metaphorically speaking, you know who's there? Jesus is there. The Son of God who humbled himself and took on flesh and dwelt among his creation. He's right there with you. And he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So don't fall into the trap that says you got to work hard to get ahead of everybody else, leveraging whatever opportunity you have to get better, but instead rather put your trust in God and his provision. Trust what he has entrusted to you in this life and be a good steward of it. And in so doing, you will have life as God designed it. Amen.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Thank you. the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I just want to comment on that because at least I know in the time I've been here, we haven't done the Nicene Creed. So we have three ecumenical, that is, ancient creeds that have been passed down to us from long ago. And a creed is basically a statement of faith saying this is what we believe about God. And so most often we do the Apostles' Creed or Luther's explanation of the Apostles' Creed. And today we're going to be doing the Nicene Creed. It's kind of like the Apostles, but with a little bit more stuff. But it's all good stuff. It's all rich stuff, stuff that communicates this is what we believe about our triune God and how he's communicated to us who he is through his word. So together we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite Pastor Dar forward. He's going to tell us a little bit about our prayer and care that we're going to have as part of our service next. Thank you, Pastor Dar.
Prayer and Care was established at St. Mark's some 25 years ago, and it was then scheduled on the fifth Sunday whenever it came up in a month, so that's like four times a year. I heard a definition of prayer once that I was always kind of hung on to. It said, prayer is tapping God's power. So what our needs are the needs of others, we want to pray. And we can do that individually. Prayer and Care was a time when you could, if you so desired, have someone pray with you and for you. And that's what we're going to do this morning. There are two scriptures up on the screen that kind of summarize prayer a little bit. In Ephesians, first of all, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always. Keep on praying for all the Lord's people. What can you pray for? Anything, anytime. Pray not only for yourself, but for others. And then another element of prayer in James chapter 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Prayers can also be thanksgivings and praise, not just requests. My wife and I were talking the other day, and we said, you know what? Most of our prayers are all requests. We need to think more about thanksgivings and praise. So we're going to have people up front. If you'd like to come down for personal prayer, the music team will be leading us in singing. There are two additional prayer people in the prayer chapel if you feel more comfortable going there. But we invite you now to come forward if that's something you would like, and we will pray with you and for you. And if you would be in prayer also for the people who come forward as you are singing. So would our prayer team come forward?
Remember no wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum, thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness through every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood near the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Since they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Since they are many, his mercy is more. Since
We continue with the prayers of the day. Please stand. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you that we can come to you just as we are. We don't have to put on a pretense or get ourselves clean, but we come to you, and you welcome us. You make us clean. You forgive us our sins, and you give us the robe of righteousness that we don't deserve, but that you have won for us. So, Lord, we pray that you would guide us and help us to be able to trust you and not ourselves when it comes to this life. Trust that you will provide for our needs. As well, Lord, we come before you with the prayers of our people. We pray that you would be with Ed Ployer as he's continuing to wait for the procedure in a couple of weeks. Just pray that you give him the patience and the strength to endure. Keep his body healthy to the point where he is able to have the surgery. Lord, we pray that you be with Steve Seeloff as he recently had a diagnosis of bladder cancer and he has an upcoming surgery. Pray that you would help him to do what he needs to do, help him to have the strength to do what he needs to do for his health, guide those who are giving him care, and help him to be restored. Lord, we give thanks to you that Wells, a seven-month-old, had a successful heart surgery and that he's able to come home. I pray that you continue to give him strength that he needs every day to grow. Lord, I pray that you be with Jim Biglin, who has an upcoming surgery, that you would guide those who are giving him care and the surgery would be successful. And Lord, we give thanks to you that Josh Lieben was accepted to treatment from the Mayo Clinic and pray that he would get the help and support that he needs to have the answers for what he's struggling with. Also, I pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
It's the light that pierces through you to the darkest hidden place. It knows your deepest secrets, but it never looks away. It's the gentle hand that pulls you from the judgment of the crowd. When you stand before them guilty, got no way out. Some may call it foolish and impossible, but for every heart it rescues, it's a miracle. It's nothing less than scandalous, this love that took our place. Just call it what it is. It's the favor that takes orphans, placing crowns upon their heads. It's the hope for our tomorrow, the rock on which we stand. It's a strong and mighty fortress, even hell can stand. took our place. Just call it what it is, call it grace. Amazing, unshaking, this is grace. This is grace.
Rain.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Alive. You keep hope alive.
Thank you again for joining us in worship today. There's no Sunday school or Bible study today, but I do want to show you a video of what we're going to be starting next Sunday here. So go ahead and roll that. All right, so the Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. 5-week series we're going to be starting next week here in the Worship Center. In case it's not clear, it's actually a video series. Watch a 10 to 15 minute video, and then we discuss it as a group and look at God's word and what that has to do with our lives and the many ways that God is guiding us. And so I encourage all of you to consider coming to that. And as well, just want to put a plug in. We have wonderful Sunday school as well starting next week for all ages and even for that one. Hi. Yeah. Yeah, Sunday school's good. Yeah. Other things of note, there is no dine to donate tomorrow because of the holiday. You can go eat at Camilla's on your own, but it's just going to, none of it's going to be supporting our Guatemala mission like it often does the first Monday of the month. There's a lost and found from the picnic in the library. If you lost something there from last week, check in the lobby. There's a box with it. And then lastly, I want to note, in 2 Sundays from today, there's going to be a meeting for high schoolers regarding the next summer mission trip. We're going to be going to Arizona and serving the Navajo people there. And so if you want to hear more about that trip, I invite you to please come at noon. We're going to meet in the youth room. I'm going to order pizza for those who are there just to share the information and hear any questions you might have about that. So please, if you're in high school, please plan on coming to that mission trip meeting. Otherwise, I have no other announcements, so go enjoy the gorgeous weather. Thanks be to God for it, and have a good day.